A good friend of ours from Sedona, Blair, I welcome to the show. And last time I saw you was at the Crass Retrieval Conference. You walked up to me this morning, called me by surprise, and I thought it was like 3 years ago, but it was just 15 months ago. The reason we have you here is you've been calling another radio show quite a lot with some pretty interesting information, and I wanted to get in on this thing. So why don't we give it a little background? By the way, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
And how are things going down in Sedona?
Well, we're getting a lot of rain. We're going to have a beautiful springtime because of the 6-7 year drought that this is really giving us a great reprieve from. So it's beautiful down there. The wildflowers are already blooming.
I don't know, this is not another subject we might discuss before we get off, but it seems to me that we've got either a strange malfunction of the weather or somebody's manipulating it.
Wow, that is so true. I think you talked with Nick Begich earlier.
Yes.
Did he give you some hints about that?
Yeah, he kind of felt like the same way I do, that maybe there's some weather wars going on.
Wow, we have all these little mafias, these little cartels playing with our weather on the planet now, right? What a wonderful time we're living in.
Well, now tell me about the you've been following this comet story for a while.
Yes, it actually began the first week of December, and I have to give apologies to my partner on this, James Madison Law. He is caught up in business in Sedona. But actually, it began with him and his own personal experience of a question he asked, and an answer that was given to him was sort of a prediction of what could happen after the 4th of July here in 2005 concerning NASA's Deep Impact Project and Comet Tempel 1.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, who did Jim ask?
Well, at this point, since we just got here very quickly, the source has to remain confidential.
Okay.
So what I'll be giving you is pure speculation at this point. So I'm sorry to say.
Let's do a little, I imagine it's educated speculation since I know you pretty well and you're pretty much into detail.
I can tell you one thing. Back in October, 2 months before the tsunami and earthquake hit in the Sumatra and Indonesia area, this same source predicted that this was going to occur.
And there's no way we can pry that source out of you at this point.
At this time, I'm sorry to say we can't, but I'm hopeful.
Can you assure the listeners that it's a credible source?
Just from my word, and that's unfortunately all I can give at this point, I'm sorry to say.
Okay, well, tell me a little bit about the whole background here.
Well, what happened was a situation occurred in early December, and then I picked up on it in mid-December when I heard George Norrie had a guest, I believe it was December 13th of 2004, named Ken Parsons, talking about the NASA Deep Impact Project, the Comet Tempel 1. So I talked to Jim, and we put two and two together, and basically what the prediction is, due to United States space actions, sporadic fires will occur on the planet in the summer that people will not understand where they originate.
Well, okay, now you're saying this deep impact on this comet, which is way out there in orbit, isn't it?
Yes, it's between the orbit of Mars and Jupiter.
And some of the pieces are falling to the Earth? Is that what's going to happen?
Good question, Jerry. Actually, that could be the case, but there is no known idea of what is the energy source in the center of a comet. And as Mr. Bell said about January 15th, that it's sort of like we are 12-year-olds with a slingshot taking a shot at something, an unknown entity. And what is probably going to occur, it'll be like an echo effect or a bouncing ball. What we put up there will come right back on us on an energy that we have no idea of its source at this point. So actually, we're going to learn the hard way.
And you really feel that there's going to be sporadic flaming pieces of meteorite or pieces of this comet falling into the atmosphere?
I hope
not.
And not
burning up?
I hope not. I have to go on the jump to the spiritual aspect. This has been a totally unfolding occurrence since December. and all the way through to February of 2005, there have been some people that were organized under the auspices of Jim Law, where prayerful action was taken on this, because the source says that there are living beings residing on this comet.
Now, how would that be possible, I wonder?
Well, of course, we do not know at this time. It's right now.
And now, this comet, I wonder where they've tracked this comet for some time, haven't they?
Oh, sure. It runs between the orbit of Mars and Jupiter, and it is actually not what we consider to be a frozen ball of rock and ice. It is more than that. I brought up the point Professor James McCanney talked about the electrical nature of the solar system. And so there could be something there that we will find out the hard way. And I said earlier that this is right now going through a day-by-day proposition because of the beings there, and if you believe in the angelic realm and the extraterrestrial influence, there might be some sources to alleviate this impact from occurring. Remember now, NASA is shooting an 800-pound copper impactor at the speed of 23,000 miles an hour into this comet to create a crater the size of a football stadium, 2 to 14 stories deep. And then they're going to photographically take pictures of what's inside of the comet. And what is supposed to happen is that this unknown energy from the comet or the living beings, this is all speculation, are basically going to reflect that energy directly back to its source, which is the planet Earth.
Well, I mean, if there's living human beings there, or living beings, or whatever they are, they might consider this an attack.
You better believe it.
And so they may respond.
I think you just about nailed it right there. I think the point that needs to be made about this is that we shouldn't go too harshly into the night. This idea of shoot first and ask questions later is really not the intelligent way to explore our home, which is the solar system. Wouldn't you agree?
It doesn't look like we can stop this, though.
What are your
feelings about that?
It's like the little project that Jim and I put together. We talk about a critical mass. I think it was Buckminster Fuller who said, it doesn't need to be a majority of like-minded hearts and souls, just a critical mass of human beings, 4, 5, 6%. They get together and you can move mountains. I think it's a question, Jerry, of consciousness, really.
So really, that's the reason you're coming on the show, is to find that 5 or 6% that all of you can get together and do something? Is that what?
Oh, you nailed it right there, sir. When I talked with Mr. Bell on January 15th, I just called up on the wild card line. He said that he would receive calls all the week of the second week of January from people voicing similar concerns to mine. And he started to rethink the idea that, you know, we don't know what we're doing, you know, pushing a button in ignorance. And so he sort of beginning to wonder what might occur himself, although he doesn't believe it will be as radical as I'm stating it. You know, this is sort of like...
Well, you got to admit what you're saying is... it's pretty definite. I mean, I can see maybe. I mean, that's so far away. Something would burn up before it got here. But if there's actually living beings there, that attack us back, then there may be fire all over the earth.
It could very well be. And one of the things that Jim Law recorded on a Comtech disc talking about the comet coming was from the book of Revelation. It's chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, where it talks about a third of the grasses and the trees being burned up, and a burning mountain falling into the sea, and the sea turning into blood. So there could be something there.
You're saying we don't have to wait very long.
Well, yes, but I sort of look at prophecy as sort of, isn't prophecy actually being warnings for us? If we go on a certain path, we will have that type of effect, and we can always change. We have this power of free will. We can always change our destiny at any moment.
Yeah, when you talk about people making a difference, they can. I'm just not sure that there's enough time this time around. What's your plan about it? I mean, what do you guys hope?
I hope that, and so does Jim Law, hopes that people will take this into consideration in a meditative or prayerful sense and just see if it rings true for them personally. And if it does, ask for guidance, ask for assistance, and maybe we sort of nudge the comet.
Are you going to set a day of meditation or a specific hour or something?
Well, at this point, that hasn't been considered, but thank you, Jerry, for giving us that idea.
Yeah, it seems to me that would be the only hope you would have at this point, is if you could get several million people, you might be able to collectively make a difference.
Well, there could be something happening in that field already. I happen to have the good fortune to get through to the Art Bell program on December 31st, 2004, on the annual prediction show. I was prediction number 68, talking about what we're just talking about now. And then I got on January 9th, and I corrected a gentleman caller who talked about it being an asteroid, and I said, no, it's a comet. And then the final time I got on with Art was January 15th. So something is sort of spurring us on to get this onto the national media, and now, of course, with your program. So maybe there is something there. And I'm sort of looking at the ultimate trump card in our physicality, and that's being spirit.
Well, keep us informed on how you feel about it. If you get any new vibrations or revelations, let us know.
Well, thank you very much, Jerry, for your time.
And it's always a pleasure to see you, Blair. And I'll remember next time when I saw you last. It was the Crash Retrieval Conference, which is a good conference. This is a good conference, too.
This is the best.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, Blair.